Pastor Darren at this time is in the Dominican Republic vacationing. No, he's actually with a missions group in the Dominican Republic. I know last night they had a couples retreat, and Darren had an opportunity to speak with over 100 men about being a husband, father, and those leadership roles. And so they're doing some great work down there. So please keep them in your prayers. Welcome to Fountain. We are one church with two campuses. This is our Fountain campus. We have a campus in Colorado Springs for those that are, this is your first time visiting with us today. 1 Corinthians 12:5-6 says, "There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work." As we continue our New Year series on the parables of Jesus, last week we looked at the parable of the sower and how God desires for us to be receptive. We discussed the importance of being receptive to the word, responsive to the word, and sowers of the word. This week we're going to explore the parable of the bags of gold and how this parable encourages us to be productive. And we'll look at the expectations God has for us as citizens of his kingdom. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here and to freely gather. We ask you to open up our minds, open up our ears, open up our hearts to be able to hear what you have for us today. I pray that you take the lead in the speaking of this word and that my flesh is suppressed, that we can clearly hear what you have for us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible or your digital device, would you please go to Matthew chapter 25? Now, this is the second of two parables in Matthew that Jesus tells us about the kingdom of God. The first is the parable of the 10 virgins. In this story, these young women go to meet their bridegroom, but he's taking longer than expected. But only half of them brought enough oil for their lamps to last that long. So the others take off to buy more oil, and while they're gone, the bridegroom arrives. The point is that we know that Jesus is coming back. We don't know when. So we need to be ready, and we need to be prepared. And in between this space of being ready and being prepared, we have this present time. Our life should be marked by kingdom productivity, and that's what Jesus' second parable is about. So if you're in Matthew 25, let's go to verse 14. It's not on the screen, so if you have it, please open up and read. I'm going to read this whole section. I think it's important for us to get this background. Starting at verse 14. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Verse 24, then the man who received 1 bag of gold. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, And I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers. So then, when I return, I would have received back at least some interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now I'm sure that many of us have heard of people having excuses. We have excuses for why we don't pray. We have excuses of why we don't go to church. We have excuses of why we don't do a lot of things. You may hear, I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the energy. I don't have the education. You know, I really don't have the time. I don't have the skill set for this job. And honestly, I just don't have the confidence. And I bet that if we're really honest with ourselves, the person we hear those excuses from the most is usually us. Our first point today is we all have excuses that limit our productivity. The limited things that God is trying to do in us. So let's look at somebody who definitely had a lot of excuses. Let's look at Moses. When God asked Moses to tell Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go, Moses had excuses prepared and ready to go. And so he starts to complain about what he didn't have. Who am I that I should go? I have never been an eloquent speaker. Moses just sits there rattling off all these excuses. It kind of sounds like he's used them before. And that's true, right? Like we all have these one or two excuses that the enemy has planted in our minds that we bring up. We're ready to go. We have them ready. Just a little bit of a humor. Lighten up. In fact, in your bulletin, there's room for you to write a couple of your go-tos. So go ahead, take a second, write down maybe some of your go-to excuses. I know mine is typically, I just don't have the time. I do have a pretty busy schedule, but there's always time to do what God has for us to do. But after listening to Moses' complaint, God says to him, what's in your hand? In essence, God was saying, Moses, I am not interested in what you don't have. I'm only interested in what you do have. So reach out your hand and I promise that it will be enough because I will be with you. So back in the 80s, there was this army recruiting video or commercial, you might have seen it, that talked about being all that we could be. Can we show that, please?
You're reaching deep inside you,
go!
For things you've never known. It's been tough, rough going, but you haven't gone alone.
We do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day.
Be all that you can be.
Hey, First Sergeant. Good morning.
You can do it in the Army.
Now, for those of you in the military, you know that mustache is not regulation. That is not. Now, as followers of Jesus, the challenge is similar. We need to be all that God has made us to be. This parable tells us that God allocates his resources, and then he calls us to be co-workers in his unfolding of history. To make that happen, God invests deeply in us. And as with any good investor, he expects the investment to be well used, and he wants a return on his investment. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 25, and let's look at verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servant and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags of gold, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once to put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So right away, this man sets out on a journey, entrusting his property to his servants. It's important for us to recognize from the very beginning that this man represents God. If we look at Psalms 24:1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." It's God who owns the world and all of the resources, and we are his servants. This parable tells us that the servants were entrusted with God's bags of gold. Just like the man of God, and we are the servants, the bags of gold represent much more than it would first seem. Because it isn't just a story about some smart money management. We're not up here talking about some Dave Ramsey total money makeover. We're talking about the story of Jesus. So if there's more to the story than what we initially read, the question we have to ask is, what are these bags of gold? I believe these bags of gold are comprised of everything we have and everything we are. This includes our abilities, our resources, our giftings, our talents, our material, and our financial resources. It's our relationships with our loved ones and our friends. It's those precious moments that we get every day, every week, every month, every year. It's the gift of God's salvation and redemption in Jesus Christ. Let's not forget, God invested his own son in the hope that we would carry on his work. All of this is entrusted to us by God. We're called to be his stewards with it. But just think, this is actually pretty exciting. Because none of it is ours anyway. It's just on loan from the master. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 29:14. "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we've been given you only, and we have given only what comes from your hand." And yet, how often are we like the servant with the one bag? Our faith, instead of being an adventure, becomes this heavy chain of obligation. We cling to the status quo, hoping to avoid the many crises and challenges of life. We're content with the daily routine. The one bag of gold Christian fails to see how much of an impact they can make. And unfortunately, this result can be deadly. This parable makes it pretty clear. As stewards, we are accountable to God for what he makes in his investment in us. Jesus' point is that the bag of gold are entrusted for us to be used. But if opportunity is not taken, unfortunately, it's lost. Let's think about this in terms of our muscles. If we don't use them, we lose them. Have you guys ever heard of the Google effect? So, back in 2011, there was some research done, and because of the internet, we found out that our ability to retain information decreased significantly. Here's what that means. Just knowing that we can easily access information online discourages our brains from remembering that information. If we forget it, what do? We Google it. I mean, think about it. How many phone numbers do you actually know? I know my number. I know my wife's number. I know 911. That's about it. See, we really don't have to remember that many things, and now we're losing some of that ability. Think of all the gifts God has given to you. Time, money, talent. He hasn't given all that to you not to use it. By giving of those things, God is making a kingdom investment. God invests in us, and he expects a return on his investment. And so, we're not using what he's given us. He's got plenty of other people, and he's got places that he can invest it in. The first two servants used their bags of gold and received just as much as they were given for their efforts. But the last servant refused to use his. And not only did he lose his bags of gold, but he lost his place in the kingdom. Now, it should be noted that throughout the entire chapter of Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about what will happen in the end age. He's talking about when Christ returns to be judged. And so in this parable, we see the truth about the standard by which we're going to be judged. When the time came for an accounting, they weren't judged on an absolute scale. They were judged according to the resources that God had allowed it to them. So it's not going to be so much of what you've gained or lost, but it's what you've ventured, what you've done for the master. We take what God's entrusted us, we step out in faith, and trust God with the results. See, God wants us to realize the potential inherent to each one of our lives. He wants us to maximize the lives or the years that we're given. The reality is we really don't have that much time on this earth. It's really short. But it's exciting. We get to play an active part in kingdom building. There's an urgent purpose that God has given to each one of us. And this purpose demands the very best that we can be and give. God wants his stewards to be action-oriented. If God's going to invest in us, he wants to see a return on that investment. In fact, take a moment, think about a couple things that God has invested in you right now. There's some space in your bulletin that you can write down a couple things and start focusing more on what you do have and less than what you don't. We see in verse 16, the servant who received the 5 bags of gold went at once and put his gold to work. And so did the servant who received the 2 bags of gold. Now, the first two servants had a completely different view of the master than the other servant. They saw him as a person who would appreciate bold and daring action. He liked to give a great deal of freedom to his servants, and he expected them to be self-starters, to take initiative. It's no different than what's expected on our jobs. Our bosses shouldn't have to tell us every step of the way what we need to do. If the servants give it their best shot and fail, the master would be fair and merciful. But the 1 bag of gold servant viewed the master a little differently, as a hard and demanding master. Should he lose the bags of gold? Surely the master would be unmerciful because he is a stingy and exacting man. Here's what we need to understand. The way that we view God determines our behavior. Sometimes our perceptions are distorted, and so we hold back, not wanting to disappoint him. But everyone who has been born again has been fashioned by God into a new creation in order to accomplish incredible things for this kingdom. We cannot lose, ladies and gentlemen. Amen? Therefore, we are richly endowed with that which is his. And when he returns, God will say to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share the master's happiness." The truth is that the person who ventures with God and his bags of gold will always reap a return. God blesses those who in faith step outside of what is easy and comfortable for the sake of the kingdom. So the big question for us is this: what resources have you been entrusted with, and how are you using them for God? What's that special thing that you can do that nobody else can do? Is it a laugh? Is it a smile? Is it ability to encourage and motivate? Is it a loving and compassionate tone that you have when speaking to people? Is it your ability to repair things? Are you skilled in music, art, teaching, maybe managing? The possibilities are unlimited. So, what are things that the owner of all things has entrusted in you, and how have you responded to that trust? How are you doing as a steward of Jesus Christ? Our key truth today is God's desire is for us to do our best with what we have been given. Let's pray. Precious God, we thank you for this opportunity to to hear about all the gifts that you have given us and the opportunities that we have to use those gifts for the kingdom. I pray that we walk away today and we contemplate what can we do with the gifts that we have. And for those that are using their gifts, Lord, we just pray that this is an affirmation for their work for the kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name.